carefully. You who listen to a tape the odd time, you'll find that I usually begin by reading what I have to say as the format, and it's usually very, very precise to express myself as I understand what the prophet taught as explicitly as possible, with as much clarity, in order to help you to coordinate your thinking, which comes by your mind, which is the physical in the brain, and through the spirit, which God allowed but is not of God, to get down in your soul, which is of God, to feed the Christ within you, to hopefully come back into a manifestation for we're living epistles read and known of all men, and one day, having bypassed that spirit body, either we go to it or it comes to us in the resurrection, and we all go to the wedding supper. So that's our hope. So shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you the opportunity we have being with these dear saints of God whom we've known for some time, many years actually, and have always found grace with them. We appreciate that very, very much. Hoping, Lord, that some good has come to them by way of a ministry that you've given us to teach a little of your word. Hopefully, Lord, that it's 100% what the prophet taught. We wouldn't want it any other way. We know that they would not want it either. So we ask you to bless us as we try to continue to show these principles and the word which the prophet brought to clarify our hearts and our minds, to know the direction which we're going, and to proceed and follow you in that particular direction which was so thoroughly exposed and vindicated to us by the one to whom he was sent, to us who were sent. So, Father, we look for your help this morning and believe, because we ask for that help which is truly legitimate according to the word, we have it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, back home, I preached 21 messages from about page 18 to 39 on this message of, does God change his mind about his word? Does he ever do that? And, of course, I took about an hour and a half on each message, which would bring us to almost 32 hours of solid preaching. And in those 21 messages, I examined and explained and amplified some of the salient points given to us by Brother Branham in that particular sermon of, does God ever change his mind about his word? And this morning, we're just going to sort of, although I finished the series, we're going to look at some of those points and review some of those points, and perhaps further illuminate and coordinate the material so it might be helpful to you. Now, that's usually what you're supposed to do in a message. You're supposed to lay out the material, and you teach it, and then you attempt to coordinate it to the people so that they're able to receive it. See, that's pretty well how the word is given in the first place. God vindicates himself to the prophet, so the prophet knows that it's God. He's completely sold on the fact that it is God. Then next, God has to vindicate the prophet to the people so that they know, as Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a teacher sent for God, for known from God, for no man doeth the works you do, lest he be sent from God. And again, Dr. Luke, in being a scribe, mentions that Jesus both began to do and to teach. And so you will notice, as God comes on the scene to vindicate himself to the prophet, as in Moses, he has to explain what he is doing and why he has done that thing to Moses, to get Moses comfortable and then oriented into those things which are to come. Then he takes Moses and he brings him to the people. And before Moses ever says anything, he has a series of miracles, of vindication, to let the people know that this man is superior to any one of them, that he has something nobody else has, and this man, should he say something, would be able to tell them that which is right. So now Moses, after having demonstrated that this power and authority was of God, he then has to explain to the people all of that. So you see, there's a constant progression of unfolding. And that's, of course, what happened in the church when they turned from the full Word of God as given by the Apostle Paul. They begin to lay off and to back away from some of the things in Scripture until at the hour of the Dark Ages, which was over 1,000 years, there were many that protested the Catholic Church, but none of them had that which would bring the people out and start them back in a progression where they would go back to where they came from. See, because remember, the Ephesian church was a perfect bride church, and to her was revealed the coming of the Spirit in the end time, which would bring them into a perfection to the tree of life, where they could go away in a rapture and be ascended and be where Christ is and reign and rule with Him. Well, you can see that the light began to return under Luther. Now, at that particular time, there has been a progression. And Brother Branham said, under Luther, it should not have stopped. But it stopped. It started under Wesley, and yet Wesley was a further progression of Luther, and when Pentecost came, it was a further progression of Wesley, and this now also is a further progression. But the major problem is, and every single time God brings a message, God then takes away the messenger, sin comes in, reaps its tremendous results, the people die, and God has to raise up somebody else. So therefore, we are literally a perfected Lutheran people. And yet, if you go amongst the Lutherans, I would like to caution you. Please do not think they know one thing about Martin Luther, because I have his books, and I've heard the Lutheran preachers, and it just ain't so. Now there, he said, "Now is the name that thou livest." Well, that, of course, that refers to Christianity, too, but people like Luther got a name of Luther, and they don't live it. They're deader than a doornail. The method's the same way in the Pentecostals now, and I have a good reason to believe that many, many people who call themselves Branhamites are deader than doornails, and I can prove they've gone back to Pentecost in order to get a shot in the arm. Well, they sure ain't going to take my coat off and give me a shot in the arm and get away in this message, because I feel enough in my soul without jumping and shouting and screaming, so I'm not against it. If you like jumping and screaming and shouting, yes, fine. Just do it in the right places. All right. We want to be helpful this morning concerning this message that Brother Branham brought us, concerning does God ever change His mind about His Word? Now, to begin with, Brother Branham made a categorical statement in this message that God can no more change His Word than change Himself. In other words, he said, God can no longer be God if He changes His Word. Now, you're talking, of course, of the intrinsic depth of that which was in God when, if I had a board here and I would illustrate, I would take the palest color I could possibly put on the board that you might see, draw a circle, and then I would take a piece of black chalk and I would write, put over the top of it a smear, and all the time you would know that under that black smear there was that little ring of light that represents God. But there's no way possible that you could see it. But in the intrinsicality of Almighty God, which means what He actually is innately, no matter what you may see from the outside or think you see or hear or think you hear, there is something in there that only Himself knows. That's His essentiality and His intrinsicality. That's God as God is, and you and I don't know a thing about it, for the very reason we weren't even there, in the particular sense of what we are here now. Because when you bypass that one form being seed, you have no memory of those particular things. So there's no way that God could possibly change His mind about His Word and still be God. Now, listen, if He changed His mind about His Word, He could not possibly be God, which is an object of worship, which worship is a true faith principle. Now, why is it a true faith principle? I just told you. There's no way that you can really know God unless He Himself revealed Himself. Then if He revealed Himself, there's no way He could change His revelation. Now, no matter what you see out here, or what you think you see, or what you hear, or what you are told about anything, There is no way that you truly know the intrinsicality of the thing unless the thing can communicate to you what his own intrinsicality, that means his nature, what he really is all about, unless he told you. So this is why I read what I read. The faith principle. See? You have got to have faith. Because there's no other way you're going to have anything to do with God. Because you cannot shake his hands. You cannot talk in his ear. He cannot talk in your ear. There is only in a certain prescribed way. But the average, no man can get to God. No man can see God in it. So listen, if he changed his mind about his word, he could not possibly be God, which is an object of worship. You understand what I'm saying? There's no way you could worship him. If he changed his mind, he's an object of worship, which worship is a true faith principle. You've got to throw your hands up and depend on him. See? He's going to show you. For if he did change his mind, his integrity would be at stake, and we could no more worship him in good conscience, or faith, than he in good conscience could expect us to worship him, because since he has changed his mind about his word, we no longer have any principles of truth for prescribed worship left to us. So he's no longer God, and you ain't got a God. Now, you see what I'm talking about? You got blank faces this morning, some of you. Now, come on, listen carefully. God is an object of worship. And you got no way to reach him. Tell me this morning how you reach God. So, Brother Dale, I heard from God. You heard from God. Fact. Give me one. Give me some evidence you heard from God. You're stuck. Well, I worship God. Tell me about him. Well, he's three persons in one, indefinable, very exclusive, all of one nature and yeah, shut up. Eight million ideas. Then where does worship lie? And it has to lie in your imagination. And you say, well, God, whether you like it or not, I suit you. Well, hey, if I was God, I'd slap you down until there was nothing left of you. Because according to my own definition and intrinsicality and innate nature, you don't tell me nothing. It's what Brother Branham said, you ain't got a thing coming. So, now get your premise. There is a God who cannot change his mind about his word, or he's no longer God. Then you say, well, Brother Vail, there's one thing left. Can I get to that word? See? Ha! That's the exact reason William Branham came on the scene. Now, if you and I get to that word, and we know he's unchanging, we are the only people who have a true God. You say what you want. He's out there as a true God, but they've got a false God. And the Bible said it's the God of their imaginations, and the word imaginations is not, oh, I imagine this thing and I imagine that thing. I'm a little child in a little dream world. No! The word imagination means reasonings. I'm reasoning. Well, God is not a reasoner. You see, well, Brother Bale, the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. That's you reasoning. Why do I have to reason about anything if I'm creator and controller? Who do I answer to? Myself. And that's no problem, because I'm 100% consistent. I am the Lord, I change not, else ye sons of Jacob would be consumed. So God cannot not change his mind about his word and be God and expect anything of us whatsoever. Because there is no way he could expect of us. And being God, he would not expect of us. Well, what kind of a God is he? See where you're coming from? You simply cannot have those thoughts. Now, that which I have just said is absolutely correct. For Brother Branham said in this same sermon on page 17, the beginning of righteousness is God's revealed truth, and the entire church of the living God is built upon that. Now, that's what he said. Page 17. Preached the whole sermon of 2.5 hours one time years ago. Didn't even know he'd said it. I knew I was right in saying it, and the Bible was full of it. And from what Brother Branham, I knew he had to say it someplace, but I never knew he said it. And suddenly one day it struck me, and he said, oh, God, I preached that sermon in Toronto, I preached all up and down America, and maybe overseas for all I know, and I don't even know what the prophet said. And my wife and I were going down the road one day in the car, and suddenly I heard it. I said, stop it, turn it back, let's go again. And I heard it again. And he said in one split second what I said in 2.5 hours. I was so happy. I was so happy. The beginning of righteousness of God, the beginning of the righteousness of God, the rightness that he has in himself and imparts to us and wants us to be a part of, and we must have in order to have a unity with him, is God's revealed truth. And that's true. When I explain it, it's easy, isn't it? Take that to some theological seminary, they'd laugh you out of the courts. And I'd be happy to be laughed out. It's much nicer than just being thrown out. I've had that happen too. The beginning of righteousness is God's revealed truth, and the entire church of the living God is built upon that. And remember, the true church is the bride in union with her husband, and of the same mind and substance. Because we are one with him as he is one with the Father. And that's why Jesus in one place could actually be called the Logos or the Word or the strict manifestation of the thoughts of Almighty God. Or as Brother Branham said concerning Jesus, say, what is the difference between God and Jesus? He said, only one difference. Jesus had a beginning. And Paul said the same thing. He is the outrage of the substance of Almighty God. So you see, we're on good Bible ground. Now, add to that some of Brother Branham's favorite scriptures. And we come up with John 6 and 63. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Notice that. That goes right in with what we're talking about. And again, John 4:23, very favorite. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such that worship him. And always Brother Branham quoted Matthew 15:9, along with these same scripture. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And even if they should stumble upon the fact of the one true God, and know thereby, positively have an insight that he is there and they must worship him, if they substitute one word or take one commandment of man against the word which God has revealed, their worship is vain, though it may cost them their lives, as Paul said, though I give my body to be burned, and everything he said, to feed the poor, it profits me nothing. So there you are. How could God change his mind about his word once he gave it and established it upon the floods? And we're the floods. Now, going back to the statement Brother Branham made on page 17, combining it with the ones we already said, and that is the beginning of true righteousness, the beginning of God's righteousness, the righteousness of God, is the God-revealed truth. And the entire church is built upon it. Now, and also with that, the words that I speak in their spirit and light, and also the fact they that worship me must worship in spirit and in truth, and also condemning those who bypass it, because he said, in vain do you worship me. He said, no dice. No dice. I want to ask you a question before we go any further. What word do we have that God did not give us? Whether Bible or non-Bible. He said, Brother Bell, I think maybe the devil gave us it. You're entirely wrong. Because, you see, the devil can only give you what God gave him. The devil does not have a word of his own. Nobody has anything because God is sovereign. He gave it all. And even Mitchner saw the truth when he wrote about South Africa. He said the minute that you begin to pervert the word of a nation, he said you have lost everything. Here's one of the smartest authors living with an insight to tell you flat, the minute language is perverted, nothing is left. How strange that this man knows that and the theologians don't. It is strange that people are not considered. Can there not be a way somehow in the grace of God that we can know the word? Well, you can join me and be despised for my stand. I take my stand at Brother Branham. But it is very true. Now, having taken our thoughts back again, the righteousness of God, His Word, Spirit, and Truth, the Word spoken, Spirit and life, you cannot worship apart from the real truth, the real Word. If you do it, it's all vain. It won't do any good anyway. We are going to go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to see these things, which I constantly preach because there is such a necessity, for I know only too well, the more I preach it, the better it gets to me and the clearer, and the more the Lord shows me, and consequently, I trust, shows you. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. All right, here are two men. Notice, one's work is righteous and one is not. Okay, let's go back and get a context. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Aha. Now, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. And he couldn't do righteousness unless he was righteous. And if he does righteousness, and we know it is righteousness, we know that he is righteous. You don't believe that, do you? Did you catch it? I sing song on purpose. Yeah. I caught your attention by what I was doing, and I hope you got what I was saying. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. In other words, there is a certain performance here that in itself is righteous, and only the guy that does that performance can do it because he in himself is righteous. Huh? Right or wrong? Some of you are still non-committal. You better grow up. Well, I don't play tootsies in church. I read it, did you? Huh? I love it myself. I think this is fantastic. And you know, even as he is righteous, that tells you that man is part of God. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins the beginning. Now what's he saying here? Little children, let no man deceive you. It's very evident that something, it comes out as a, in the strength of righteousness, it's an act, it's a manifestation, it's something that is being done, and it can only come by the fellow that has it inside of him. And he lines right up with God. Hey! Absolute, he's one with the Father. No, hey, you cannot separate him from God. But he that committeth sin is of the devil. In other words, he that doeth unrighteousness, he hath unrighteousness dwelling in him. Yeah. Even as God has allowed this manifestation in you and through you, proving you are a part of him from the beginning, so these guys here are manifesting something, proving that they have something in them which is from the devil in the beginning. Who wants to believe that, John? They'd sooner believe we're all reprobates, we're all goats, we're all pigs, we're all dogs. And somehow by the grace of divine alchemation, the goat is turned into a sheep, and the dog is turned into a sheep, and the hog is turned into a sheep. Hell, and everything turned into sheep. Hogwash! Original seed is what it's all about and what it's all going back to. Jesus said, other sheep I have, I'm going to bring them too. He didn't say one thing about a swine at all. He said, every plant my heavenly Father hath not planted, I'll uproot and burn. And he said, even the chaff that is so close to looking as though it were the real thing, I'm going to burn. Do you know this? Do you know this after the morning, brother, sister, that no Pentecostal will be in the rapture? Because the chaff burns. Oh, I know, brother, there, brother. Oh, you're all so scared to believe God's word. What is the matter with you? See, you sit here this morning and you want to change it. Say, Brother Vail, you're madness. No, I preach this way because a lot of people outside get these tapes. And I got a mean, raspy spirit about me. And you know why? Because if I'm preaching wrong from this Bible, what the prophet said, I haven't got a chance, and I know it. So I'm not kidding. You kid if you want to. I believe this, I believe that. I don't care what you believe. Doesn't bother me one bit. Do what you want to do. I read it to you. There's two guys. They're both doing something. They both identify those two. They are both from the beginning. Huh? That's right. Except I'm mean as to could be. I think Brother Branham would appreciate my preaching. He told me somebody had to tell him. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing. Little children, don't let anybody see you. No. I got a way of letting you know these things. He that commits sin is the devil, for the devil since the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might bring to nothing, destroy the works of the devil. What's he telling you? That he can establish in you the proper manifestation, the right way, which if you have it in your heart from him as a seed to begin with, you will respond to it, thereby showing you that you are that one. In other words, there's a certain evidence that you are a child of God. Yeah. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. I said, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. What is he talking about? Righteousness and unrighteousness, which comes through two kinds of people. Yeah. Manifesting what seed lies in there. And if there's an unrighteous or an evil thing there, then the person is intrinsically evil. The same as, brother, sister, let me tell you flat. If there's a fruit on a tree hanging out here that'll kill you when you eat it, there must have been something in the life of that tree that brought that poison there that killed you. Huh? Well, come on. The book of Genesis tells you that. The tree is good tree because the seed is in it. I'm not mad. I'm just a tough preacher. Notice how strong my voice is these days. Oh, yeah. But, you know, I just kid you. I like to break the tension every now and then. All right. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. Didn't I tell you? Got ahead of myself. That Lord doesn't mind. See, I know the scriptures. That's it. He cannot sin. Because he's born of God. What does the word born mean? It's not a creative act. It is an issuing act of what is already there. The baby issues from the mother's womb. Neither is birth a creative thing. It is simply the life coming through proper channels. That which is born of God, issued forth from God, cannot sin. Because of that particular seed. There then has to be a manifestation which God demands, which is congruent with what lies in the one that issues it forth. And so therefore the child of God lines up with the Father, safe and secure with the Father, and he knows these things. But you see, they've been lost to the church because the church does not believe in grace, it believes in works. Yeah. Now, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Now leave that part out of love right out there in the beginning, because an unborn baby cannot love. And when the baby is born, it doesn't understand a thing about love and the precepts. It is just there living. So when this was thrown in here as an interpolation, so everybody reads the interpolation, and as soon as they do, their mind's completely gone. The teacher's giving a little dissertation here on how to make candy and how you make fudge, and suddenly a little pertinent thought comes in, and the teacher leaves the making of the fudge and goes over here to something else, and everybody forgets about the fudge and takes all the time over here, and you never get the recipe. So here's the recipe. Cut out those verses temporarily. And go on down to verse 12. Then read again. This the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In other words, he's telling there are two groups of people, and there's a manifestation there because of such and such and certain things we discussed. And it says, and this the children of God are manifest, and children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. For this is the message you heard from the not that, but not as it in Cain, who was of that wicked one. Just leave out verse 11 too. Now he's talking about righteousness and unrighteousness according to what was manifested. These two people doing it, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, what were the works that they did? Worshipping God in two different manners. The unrighteous act wasn't killing his brother. That took place after the unrighteous act. You follow me? So, Brother Bill, is it not unrighteous to kill somebody? I never said it wasn't. I'm just telling you what caused him to kill his brother. They were both worshiping God. Yeah. And the true seed had something from God within him that responded to a certain regimen, which had to do with the intrinsicality of Almighty God, which was his own thought or word, which he could not change. Because God's word. He's Rhema Logos. Elohim. Omniscient, omnipotent, and demanding. Now these two boys stood right there, twins. And one did a righteous thing and one did an unrighteous thing. And by the way they worshiped, you could tell who was of God and who wasn't. Period! Now that's 100% true prototype. And everything is based upon it because it comes out of Genesis and it ends in Revelation. And we are in the hour where you and I are 100% differentiated from the rest by how we worship according to the Word.
Well, Brother Dale, I believe it's something else. Well, you believe any stinking thing you want.
I'm going to preach what I want. Believe me, I'm going to keep preaching until the cows come home. Then the sheep come home and I come with them. All right, now listen. What I read here is based upon Genesis 4, and I told you about it. And it says here that, and process of time, and through the third verse, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord, worship God. And Abel brought of the first thing of the flock, the fat thereof, and the Lord said respect to Abel his offering, but unto Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Listen, this is a conversation of God with an unrighteous person. Huh? Do you wonder why preachers and we argue with people to turn to God and there's no way they will turn? Starts right here. God argued. After Abel argued, God argued. And Cain filled his mouth full of spit. Right in God's face. Hey, I don't believe that could happen. Hey, where you been? Pinch yourselves. Are you alive or dead this morning? Have you ever heard and believed anything in your whole cotton-picking lives? You don't believe the Bible.
Brother there, you see, the thing is that that sounds very strange, and I don't know that that could happen.
Well, it did happen! Said right here. You know, these walls could fall down and some of you still would go to sleep. I'm not fussing with you. I tell our congregation back home the same thing. I know what goes on in people's minds. Shall I tell you one thing? I've learned three things as a teacher because I did take good teacher training class. Number one, pedagogy requires repetition, repetition, repetition. Paul said so. Number two, you make them laugh. Or three, you hit them so hard they don't dare forget. I try all three. Yeah, God talked to this man. But unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. Here's his fellow worshiping God. It was vain. What made it vain? Jesus said, your doctrines, your changing my word, made it vain. It's no use. He said, I don't say that you're not worshiping me. No, no. And I don't say you're not trying to be a better man. And I'm not saying you're not trying to get your prayers answered and curry favor with me and live in more harmony. But he said, I can't take it. Oh, what kind of a God is that? Ha ha. You see, you've got gods of your own imagination. You don't have a sovereign God. You've got some little doty grandfather, some old puss up there that, you know, strokes to a pat, pat, purr, purr, you know. Forget it, honey child, forget it. Listen, kid, I know full well I'm before the white throne now, and I'm going to be judged even more so. And I want to stand before God, believing my best and knowing this. If I don't make bride, at least I gave the devil a rough time. And the rest of this crud that goes supposed to be worshiping God. I said, Brother Bill, do you really worship God? By the grace of God, I hope I do on one thing alone. Reveal truth. Well, I hope you got 3 hours to go because I ain't got past hardly anything here. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He doesn't say that according to the Greek Septuagint. Thou hast offered right, but if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? And the great cardinal thing, one of them is, do not misdivide the word of God. He said, what you did, what you see, he said, I can see it all from your point of view. But you refuse to see my point of view. And all it is, my point of view alone prevails. And get with it, boy, because I'm God. And everybody this morning wants to think God wants us to jump through a hoop, climb over a mountain with every soul and do everything and love everything, sweet everything, this everything. And, you know, say, well, hallelujah, Jesus, well, the word that ain't so important is hallelujah, Jesus. Hogwash! It isn't hallelujah, Jesus, because Cain did hallelujah, Jesus, and God rebuked him and kicked him out. Abel stood there like a sourpuss. He said, I'm right and you're wrong. And he said, I know I'm right because the fire came down and took mine and left yours. In case I want to tell you something, I'm going to go right to God for this. White throne was right there. White throne was already there. He went right before God and God said, you're wrong, Cain. What do you mean I'm wrong? But he said, you aren't. Oh, Cain was man. Now, you're going to buy a big four-foot club and pull God out of heaven. And as Rob Barnard once said, beat hell out of God with a club because you don't believe in sovereignty. You're mad at him. So what did he do? He killed God's child. What for? Didn't like the way he worshiped. Same Bible, same God, same everything, but couldn't take that worship. You see why people hate you and think you're nuts and everything else? Now, you can't be a nut if you're not listening this morning and understand what I'm saying. You're just half a nut, wishing you were a nut. They killed Paul because he was a heretic according to how he worshiped. They killed Jesus for the same reason. Yet they all had the same Bible. But Israel forgot what a prophet really was. And the Gentiles don't even believe in them. All right. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, that's a nice book. Never can remember which is first and second when it comes to the verses, but I got it written down. It always helps. 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are you a workman, a worshiper? A workman and a worshiper. How do you go on the foreign field and serve God? How do you worship God outside of right division? 3:16 and 17. All scripture given inspiration of God, profit for doctrine, proof for correction, righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. Notice, instruction in righteousness. How to be righteous. Now, serpent seed can't take it, so they turn it down. Child of God said, hey, that's great, I like that. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Notice, the good works follow that. Because from that point on, no matter, even if it's a glass of cold water, you get a reward. Without it, depart from me. We'll talk about that. All right. And today, we go to Revelation, the last chapter, and verse 10, which is after the opening of the seals. He said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust still. He that is filthy, filthy still. He that is righteous, righteous still. He that is holy, holy still. He's letting you know there's coming a dividing time when there will be a group that is absolutely holy and righteous. The bride spotless, ready for presentation after the opening of the seals. And he said, behold, I come quickly. Now, this is the second coming, actually. My rewards in according to man, give his works as man should be. It has many connotations. Blessed are they that wash their robes, have the right to the tree of life. And the division is right there, without their whoremongers and so on and so on. And then right down in verse 18, but I testify to every man that hears the words, the prophets in his book, if any man shall add unto these things which God has said, God will give him the plagues. If he take away the word, God will take his part out of the book of life in the holy city. What's doing it? His works? No, his words. That's what Brother Branham says. Don't take one word away. Don't add. Say what I say. See, I've quoted from it. I know what I'm talking about. Now then, at this point, I think we are very clear on the point, so we can move on to another point and then come back to what I've said. I'll give you some more notes on it. Number two. Concerning this sermon, for this point, we refer to the scripture Brother Branham used as a scripture basis for his sermon. What was the basis? It's a story of Israel having left Egypt under Moses, and there they are going through the land of Moab, and the Moabites know all about the fact how Israel is cleaning everything up in his path, so therefore they fear for their destiny. And they know there's a man named Balaam who's a prophet who's very, very successful. What he says comes to pass. And they know that some of the things he comes to pass have been blessings and some have been cursings. Good times and bad times. So therefore they say, this is the guy we want. Now, if he is adept at both blessing and cursing, he can begin to move the hand of God in blessing and in cursing. We want him to move the hand of God in cursing and get rid of these bums. Now you see, that those people were just like a certain fellow that came through here years ago. He's dead. His name was Robert Tom. And he said to a guy named Charlie, what's his name? Starts with death. Charlie. Anyway, this guy had a motel in Pennsylvania. And he could never sell it. And this guy prophesied to Charlie that the motel would sell now at such a price. And Charlie got so carried away with this. He's dead now, this guy. But you talk about a man that was 100% rascal. And don't worry, Brother Branham told me all about him. So I'm not telling you a lie. He was so enamored that I knew that this guy would take him over and fleece him. Because I know his record. Money, women, what have you. I don't know if you had more of money or women, but you had a lot of both. So I said, Charlie, let's be honest. Did this man's prophecy sell your motel, or did God just let him in on the secret that your motel was going to be sold? He saw the light. These Midianites did not see the light. A prophet does not prophesy and bring a thing to pass. A prophet is a seer. He sees what is going to come to pass. And yet it's strange, you get somebody prophesying in church and they take the church over. Like this bird down there in Missouri. You know, this guy with a long 8-inch pink is supposed to perfect the church. Brother Hancock had him in his church. Some people, friends of mine, phoned and said, "Lee, this is terrible." He said, "This guy is really murdered. He's prophesying things and the church is not in order." And they told me the story, so I phoned Brother Hancock. I said, "Brother Hancock, I'd like to talk to you as a friend, as a brother." I said, "Here, you've got this fellow named Odell." Odell, what's his name? Anyway, Fredericks. In there, and he prophesying, but he doesn't come to church where his prophecy is under order. Well, he said, "You see, Brother Bale, he lives out in the country at all, and you know, it's difficult." I said, "No, hold. I want to ask a question, Brother Hancock. Does he get his prophecy at home and bring it to church?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's where you're wrong. If he can get it at home, he better get it in church. In the little room, where first of all you got it, the man, the door is a man with discerning of spirits. And let the brethren judge." He said, "You don't understand, Brother Bill." I said, "Brother Hancock, I do understand. You're the guy that doesn't. But it's okay. It's all over. You are going to reap the whirlwind." He presented that guy around the country with his stupid big long pick going to perfect the bride. He wrote a letter and he said, "This man Odell will perfect the bride." The brethren jumped on him, then he denied he wrote the letter, so they showed the letter. Now, the guy's not only a fool, he's an idiot, he's a liar. So this guy goes to Europe. I even got a letter about him. And they warned me, you know, that in a vision, this one fella saw me in a vision. A great voice thundered heaven and struck me down over this guy. I'll hit him hard this morning and every morning because the guy's a liar. Quoting from Brother Bram the Bible, "Music going to perfect the bride. The blood perfects the bride. She's dressed in the garment of the word without spot, without wrinkle." Don't you come around to some church in an audience, or you can preach a bit, you can play a bit, and you think you'll fool me with that word, kid, I'll fight you to the death. Say, "Hey, Bale, you're mean." Thank God I am for some of you folk. Myself, I don't care two bits about that crap. I got a cesspool in my house big enough to handle it. What about it, brother, sister? Hey, oh, yeah. Yeah. Balaam. They said, "Come on, Balaam, curse him." Why, we've seen blessing come when you said it, and we saw cursing come when you said it. So, we know the secret. You can twist God's hand. Put the old arm lock on him. Make God curse him. He said, "Boys, you missed the point. I only tell what I see. I don't have any gift to make anything come to pass." But they still chose to disbelieve him. And they said, "Well, listen, bud. Hey, you don't know the money that's involved in this thing. Boy, you've had a tough up here by yourself. Little trickle, little dribble. But you come on down and stand there and curse him, and we see it works. It won't be a trickle and a dribble, it'll be a torrent. You'll be next to the king, you'll be the bishop, you'll be the prime minister, and anything you say, go, hey, listen, between you and me, kid, we can really revolve the empire." And the wheels begin to turn, toon, 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 toon. He said, "Well, give me some time." Okay. They thought he was shrewd. Like the used car dealer, you know. I think my definition of a real slimy scum is when I talk about a man that's a cross between a used car dealer and a backslidden Pentecostal preacher. And he was one of them. They said, "We know how to get him. We'll be back tomorrow." They said, "We raised our price." "We can see your point, Balaam." Now, God told Balaam, "Don't you go." When Balaam got so anxious to go, God said, "Okay, go ahead. Go ahead." The guy knew better. He even had a donkey speak in tongues. As one guy said back there, it was good. He said, "You could The donkey spoke in tongues in those days, but now you can't get all the donkeys to stop speaking in tongues. That was some bishop said that, and he said it right. But anyway, the donkey couldn't do anything about it. God couldn't do anything, but he went down anyway. Two times he prophesied, and he prophesied what God was going to do because, hey, it was out of Balaam's hand. He had a gift. And believe me, I know enough about gifts to know how they operate. Because I know under certain conditions, and I'm not lying to you, you come against the Word of God, I could blow you plumb out of the water so fast your head would swim. Because a gift is a gift. You just stand back and watch it. See, Balaam knew how to do it. I said to Brother Branham one day, Brother Branham, I'm looking at these things about a prophet. And these things in the Bible. Yeah, what does it mean? Well, I said, they had a little formula. A little trick. A little thing they knew just what to do. And when they did it, they slid into it. And oing, 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 down came the prophecy. Like the Balaam and down came. Well, he said, certainly, Lee, he took up his parable. And you'll hear it right on a tape. I take up mine too. But I will not tell you the words. So if you know a first thing about a gift, you just peculiar, you can just walk into it. If you don't know it, I can't explain it to you. You just take my word for it. You just suddenly go blank. As Brother Branham said, my great gift is to get out of the way. And that's what a gift is. You just grow cold to everything. It begins to move. Balaam knew it. But he was absolutely convinced for money he would make it work, or he would make a reasonable facsimile work. But he couldn't make the reasonable facsimile work because he didn't have the things we got today, like little microphones and things you put in your ears and little stuff you pull off. He couldn't do that. Didn't have that back there. So he couldn't do what he wanted to do. So, all right. The text, the scripture that Brother Branham used, Israel has come out of Egypt under the prophet Moses, to whom God revealed and vindicated himself and then vindicated Moses to the people in order to lead them out and give them his word, preparing them for the promised land. That's Deuteronomy. On their way to Canaan, they came into the land of the Moabites. Now, these people were worshippers of God, for they descended from Lot, the nephew of Abraham. And Lot came out of the Ur of the Chaldees, as did Abraham, and substantially for the same purpose, but not in the depth, as did Abraham. For Abraham appeared, for God appeared to Abraham when he said, and Brother Branham said, you may not be a silver dollar like Abraham, you might be just a 10-cent piece like Lot. For a copper. Now these guys came down from the Ur of the Chaldees, and they had a right revelation of God. All right, we know the story. And I've told you some of it. See? Now, like Lot, they wanted the best. Now watch. Abraham and Lot are together. God said, separate, separate, separate. Abraham said, Lot, tell you what. What you want, you take. I'll go this way. Notice the spirit now. Lot looks up. Ah, well-watered plains. Ah, city over yonder. Hey, that's the best. All boiled down to money, prestige, human glory. Gimme, 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 gimme. Abraham says, be my guest. I'll go to the mountain that represents God. I'll go to the hard place that represents a virtuous life that God breaks into and brings forth in the power and glory of himself. See, these people came from the wrong seed, and the best they could do would be a class of foolish virgin, that at the end time, Brother Branham classed the foolish virgin with the wicked and the unrighteous and with the dogs. Did you know that? Well, did you know that? Well, did you know it? Huh? I sure know a lot. You never hear my tapes. You don't even hear Brother Branham's. Yeah, blink your eyes. When the bride went out, the foolish virgin died. They were classed with the wicked, the unrighteous, the filthy, and the unholy. He said so. See, you got to know your tapes. If you don't know your tapes, you cannot know this Bible. How are you going to worship God right? When you got in your heart some fallacy that this is that and that's this? Come from among them, be separate. And you approve your son and a daughter. Touch not the unclean thing. Yeah. Don't want to be too tough, but that's the truth. Now, did God change his mind about his word? How could God change his mind about his word cursing Israel? How much time we got? All the time in the world? You guys ask for it. Never ask me to preach because I make up what I'm sure is enough notes for an hour and a half and there are 3 hours sitting there. Okay. Look, I'm not going to read the whole chapter of the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Abraham absolutely is told by God when God said, what am I going to do? I don't have any seed. And God said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that cometh out of thine old bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look toward the heaven, tell the stars if you can, look on the seashore, tell that and so on, so shall thy seed be. That's exactly what God said to him. Now then, in Exodus, the 3:1-12, we get the very same thing. Because in this same chapter here, it tells you, it's in verse 13, and he said to Abraham, this is Genesis 15, know of a surety thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is theirs, not theirs, and shall serve them, and they'll be afflicted for 400 years, then I'm going to bring them out. Now in the book of Exodus, God repeats his promise. And in Hebrews 6:13, it tells you, listen now, it tells you that when God made promise to Abraham at this particular point, seeing he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Then God and his word is one and the same. And if God ever changed his mind about his word, he's no longer God. You follow me? Let's go to Hebrews 6. There's too good stuff in there if we just let that go by the board. Well, it didn't go by the board, but it didn't just go far enough. Okay. Now we read down to the he swore by himself. Now listen, verse 16. For verily men swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly show his heirs unto of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, just a minute. Neither God changes, nor does God's word change. Tells you right there. Why? Because if he did, there wouldn't be one true worshiper. Even though he was a seed. You'd become You know the Baptists, they're hyper-Calvinists. They say we're born again. They say we have a hope. You know, they're what they call the They're hyper-Calvinists is one way of terming it. They're antinomianists, which means there's no means of salvation. You don't need it. Your seed and that takes care of it. Hard shell. This is not hard shell, although it is to the degree. You know, look at it. Brother Branham said, he said, if God knew every flea and how many times he bat his eyeballs, how is he going to change his word? Well, he miscounted. Oh, God. Then he miscounted the bride of Christ. Then he blew it. This one's true word. Well, this is nearly true word, and this is not quite so. And by grace, he threw this one in. You believe that? How can you? Now notice carefully. Two prophets, two headships, two people. Boils down to a true vine and a false vine based on the kind of seed which was in the life, or the life in the seed, and both claimed to be the receiver of grace, the true seed, the true light, and the true worshiper, but one bunch will kill the other. Now, we're in a good place at the end time to be killers. What about the bride in the end time? Just get me out of here, Lord. All I stand for is your word. If this ain't it, you see what I'm looking at telling you? If this isn't it, where do you go? If it isn't word, where do you go? Vindicated word. Now, only one prophet was truly commissioned of God to lead the people of God, though both had offices. Now, we already read about Moses, and to add weight, let us read also about men like, well, Paul and Jeremiah. We don't have to. Paul said, who separated me from my mother's womb. God said to Jeremiah, I separated you from your mother's womb. I put the words in your mouth. Paul said, my message is not of man myself, nor of men. I got it straight from God, the pillar of fire, 3 years in Arabia. And Paul turns around to a church that went to gifts and bypassed the word. And what did he say? The women were now having a great time. Now, you women, if you're around me continuously, you'll swear Lee Bale's a woman hater. I am not. God is my judge. I stick up more for the women than I do for the men. But, ooh, do I get mad when you stick up with them, and they are so cotton-picking stupid when it comes to the word. They just won't listen. But listen, he said, let the women keep silence in the church, for it's not permitted them to speak. Now, that's to the bride, as well as just the woman. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also set the law, to be obedient to what? Well, if they can't talk and their husbands can, they're obedient to Christ. And Christ is the Word. And He's told you what He wants from the woman. And Brother Branham correctly said, he said, what the bride does, she supplies to the groom what the groom supplies to her that she works with. So you give back to God His Word. Now, and if they will learn anything, let the master husbands at home. That's headship, for it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What? Now watch. Came the Word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Now, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commands of the Lord. In other words, he said, if you have the Holy Ghost, or you are a prophet, you will know right away that this is the truth. And you won't buck it. And these people were out of order. How do you get back in order? Shut up and sit down. And find out what the prophet said, then you begin to move and not before. If you move before, you become a Cain. See, it shows who you are and what you are. And that's so important to understand that. Okay, let's go a little further. I'll finish up before the night's over, don't worry. Now, what we are seeing here is Balaam refusing to come under a higher authority. That's what Brother Branham said. And use a gift to come against Moses, even later as did Korah. Now, what did this guy do? He had a genuine gift from God. There is no doubt about it. And he was with a people of God. They worshiped the same God. But they refused to come under vindicated authority. Now, it wasn't that the gifts were not authoritative, but there was a higher authority. Huh? You know why everything has gone to hell in this world? There is an authority in people's flesh called sex. But there's a higher authority that says, do it only in marriage. One wife. A woman, not a man, or another woman, or anything else. And they have gone exactly with the authority of sex. And it's authoritative. And when it's between a man and a woman that's properly married, it is a righteous act. Oh, yeah. But now they've got AIDS. And the church spiritually is full of AIDS. Because they're going through the acts. Illegally. Everything types, brother, sister. Don't you ever believe different. This man had a gift, a genuine gift. And he came against Moses, as did Korah later, who said, hey, we all got something from God. Don't tell me, prophet Moses, that you're the only guy that's got something from God. And he said, I never said that. Would to God they all prophesied. Get off my back. William Branham said that. Get off my back. Oh, yeah. I was on the tape, Chicago. Preached to the people up there about one God. Get off my back. I never said you don't have something. But you better come to the highest authority. And he said, come and stand beside me. And not one came. And he said, you're smarter than I thought. Because he said, Seely, if they'd have come, they'd have carried the first one up feet first, dead as a doornail, struck by the pillar of fire.
Wow, Brother Bay.
Hey, you read this message while you're sitting here. You're going to have a whole lot more fun someplace else. Sure. At a restaurant, beer parlor, pinball, dance hall, shooting squirrels, rabbits. Why sit in church? I'm not mean, just a question. Now then look at Balaam and Korah and their kind. Oh, we'll get through. Don't worry. I'm in no rush. You blame it on your preacher. He asked me to preach. He'd already told you people I was coming up and likely would preach. And then the Spirit got on me and I said, well, if I just feel good enough, I'll do it. I don't have to even feel good to preach. It's just better that you feel good. What's feeling good got to do with it? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, inwardly they're ravening wolves. See, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Two trees, right? One brings life, one brings death. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That's proven in the Garden of Eden. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, cast to fire. By the fruit you shall know them. In other words, see, what does the tree do to you? When you partake of the tree, what's it do to you? That tells you. Cain partook of a tree. What did it do? Abel partook of a tree. What did it do? Moses partook of a tree. What did it do? Balaam partook of a tree. What did it do? Korah did it. What did it do? Took them all down to hell. Ah, come on. Let's understand this thing. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which shall be in many. Wow. Many. Many. I thought, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, then few there be. Now where's Pentecost? Brother Branham said, Methodist wants the Baptist, Baptist wants the Presbyterian, Pentecost wants them all. And they got them. No Pentecost can make the rapture. Chaff. But they got gifts. Now, come on. Brother Bale, I don't think I can take it. A woman over there in Norway. Her husband's supposed to believe the message. Boy, they hated me coming over there because they knew I wasn't like them. They tried to get me out of the country. I went in our due time. She said, Sister Bale, don't tell me these lovely Pentecostal women won't make it. And here this woman, she had arthritis, so she cut her hair. She said, if my wife has arthritis and can't comb her hair, I'll either send it to the beauty parlor or comb it myself as long as my hands can work, and if they don't, pay somebody. Or say, well, honey, there's worse thing than getting lice. That's going to hell and burning with them. No. Slacks, doesn't matter. These lovely Pentecostal women. You're Tammy Baker's. She found the rich man now, so she dumped poor Jimmy. Well, they're both for the dump, as far as the Bible says. And many will say, Lord, Lord, even not prophesied 99 and cast out devil done wonderful works. I never knew you. Depart from me. Excuses. Dungeon, they said, what's your excuse? And you won't dare lie. What about these Mohammedans, these guys that saw Brother Bram in India? He said, come on, in the name of your God, make this man whole. Ha ha, he said, you're strangely silent. Come on, you Shiites and the rest of you Muslims and Mohammedans and Buddhists. Come on. But he said, what if my God, in the name of Jesus, makes him whole and his eyes come back? Oh, they took him up right now, but they never took him up with the understanding of truth, because in their hearts they believed in transmigration of souls, and they believe in the indwelling of God and all this other junk. Mohammedans are screwed up worse than Hogan's goat. Why? Abraham. That wasn't his wife Hagar. Many more are the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband. Many will come in that day. So they said, when Brother Man was healed, they tried to grab Brother Branham as though he had done it, and access to him would do it, not looking to the true God and repenting. You see, now on Judgment Day they'll come. And the Lord will say, now, didn't you know my servant William Branham? Oh, yeah, but our leaders, they said different. Well, let me ask you a question then. Would you say any different now? Now, they can't lie. They'd have to say, you got us. See, they have to admit the seed. This morning, it's the same thing because we're before the white throne. What seed are you? What seed am I? It's not how great and how marvelous and what a great servant you are. It's like I heard a nice guy this morning on the air, and he was just cooking for a few minutes, listening. He's Dr. somebody from Buffalo here, and very handsome guy, and a nice meeting, and he had this woman singing, and this man playing marvelous trumpet. They used to play for the world. They still do, and don't know it. And she's dressed up like a modified Tammy Baker, very pretty, very swell, to ear bobs on, and eyes so-and-so, and she's doing, doo-doo-doo-doo, she's singing, whoopee, for Jesus, hallelujah. He tooted his horns tonight. The preacher doesn't have time to preach the words. He gives an illustration. And in the illustration, he said, now, he said about this poor boy dying. His father, multimillionaire, and he wouldn't talk to his boy about the Lord. And now the kid is dead. He got shot by a guy, bang, 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 dies in his own blood. Put him in a casket. And the rich people come to him. And the guy, at the end of the funeral, he comes up with his, and he said he pulled his God out of his pocket. A big roll of bills that represented all his money. He said, God, he said, I'll give you my house and my millions, every single thing, he said. Let my boy have my 5 minutes that I can talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the man said about the hollow voice in the lowest hell laughing. I got news for you. That preacher is just a Catholic trying to scare the people. The devil is not in hell. So, Brother Dale, you see, a little thing like that shouldn't worry. It worries God. Yeah. That's the thing, brother, sister. That's the thing. Many will come in that day. It's too late. Acts, the second chapter, the Holy Ghost fell manifestation. He said it's going to repeat at the end time. Sure. Matthew 10, it tells you, send them with power. Everyone with power. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. In my name do wonderful things. Freely receive, freely give. And it said Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus, was there. Then Jesus in John 17 and 12 said, I've only lost one, which is Judas, the son of perdition. And he was not one to begin with. Now back in the book of 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, the son of perdition is mentioned. So at the end time, just before the great tribulation and the Antichrist comes, when everybody's prophesying and everybody has gifts, the ministry of the Son of Man appears on the scene, and at the same time, the ministry of the Son of Perdition. In other words, anybody and everybody who names the name of Jesus, and it's a perfect scam and they don't know it, they can have miracle after miracle and signs and wonders, and many more are their children than the she that hath a husband, and they'll outperform the horse the same as the mule. There's no limit to what they will do. And in 2 Peter 2:15 and Jude 11, it tells you very succinctly that these men are patterned after Balaam and Cain, and especially Balaam because they run greedily for money due to the error that they have a gift that they can control and go to God and make Him change His mind and twist His arm. And Brother Branham said, prayer has one force and influence, not that you twist God's arm, not that you change God's mind, but you stay there until God can change your mind. And then he said, a right attitude toward any promise in your mind will bring it to pass. All right. We see there are two prophets, but there are two kinds of people. Yep. Two prophets, but not two of a kind. They are different. Two kinds, and though they appear on surface to be the same, wolf in sheep clothing, and they have many direct qualities which are admirable in both, there is only one prophet that is conceded to have the strength and the correct connection with God, and that is the one who has the Word of God, who God has vindicated Himself to, then vindicated Himself to the people, and they only come in certain junctures. The others are only men with gifts, which can only be at times anointed with the power and not to the Word. And that's exactly where we stand. These people are anointed to the power, but not to the word. Now, just a minute. Where does your mind go when I make that statement? It goes right back to the devil. The devil is anointed to power, but not the word. Because all power and authority is of God, and God delegated it to the devil. And he delegated it to Jesus, who at that time was in the form of Michael, who both led in the worship. And the devil said, I'll take the power apart from the word. And Jesus took the power with the word. You know why I believe the world's full of homosexuals? You know why I believe the world's the way it is? Brother Branham said when that baby kicking in his mother's womb is jumping muscles and nerves, and it is not truly alive. Now concerning the flesh and the world, but remember the soul built the house because the life built the house. The baby drops from the womb and a spirit comes in, and he not just intimated, but specifically in one place, talked of those being spirits of the fallen angels and the others that didn't fall. So what do you think is the spirit that's taken control of all these babies born in the last years? Evil, filthy spirits, because the seed has run out. And some are very religious. Women, lesbians are now in the pulpit. We thought it was bad when a certain woman who is a Lutheran decided to impress the people by worshiping God in a Lutheran church, and she stripped perfectly nude, absolutely, and there she did her dance and her hallelujahs worshiping God. Of course, her God is the devil. Like old Eberhard, a fine old independent Baptist said, you people that pray our Father which art in heaven had better be very careful because there are two in there. One is God and the other the prince of the power of the air, so you better know which one you're talking to. So she did her interpretive dance in the church. Beautiful. Yeah, filth. No wonder they ordain lesbian preachers. Now, after this sermon, if I talk a bit more, I don't expect Alphonse to feed anybody because we all sooner puke than eat. Well, God does. He vomits. And just lukewarm gets him upset. Because Brother Branham said the greatest lie in the world is 99% truth. You know I could preach this sermon this morning 99% and give you 1% and be a devil? I don't believe it. For your sake and mine, I sure don't believe it. Now listen, I'm going to close. You can all smile and say, thank God. But I want to leave you with the crowning thought that is really going to help you to get the truth. There is a far cry from Matthew 10, 1 and 4, 5, where he told the 12 to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead, cast out devils, and Judas is specifically mentioned. And in 1 Corinthians 14:36, where he said, if you are spiritual or a prophet, you will believe this word. And Matthew 7:15-23, where he exposes them to what they are in spite of their gifts. There is a far cry between all of those verses. And listen now, Matthew chapter what? Can you guess? Will you tell me what it is before I turn to it? It's in Matthew 16. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art a little rock, and upon this rock of revelation I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, except when they backslide. And on that day I say, hey, who are you? Lord, I'm one that cast out devils in your name. And I did wonderful works. Is that what the Bible says? Huh? Then why do you try to make it say that when that would mean lie? There is a far cry between a Balaam and the Pentecostals and the gifted people. That's all through the Bible. And Matthew 16. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it but my Father. And I'm building my church. That's why Brother Branham said you cannot worship and serve God apart from a prophet. The last day he said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man, God. But it comes by a prophet. Does God change his mind about his word? There isn't a chance. So, Brother Bale, then do I have to know all the word? No, no, sweet brother, sister. Only the word for this hour. Don't get mixed up like those Europeans. They said, well, Brother Branham made 53 mistakes. You know, the great doctor so-and-so over there in Germany lives in adultery. Now got 1,000 people to preach to and teaches fornication and polygamy and all that stuff. Oh, Brother Branham made a mistake here. Oh, Brother Branham didn't explain this. Ah, shut up and sit down. You make me sick. Seduce your women, destroyers of men's souls. Preach what Brother Branham preached, for there's a certain word for this hour, and what belongs to Israel. Keep your nose clean. Keep your mouth, your noses out of it. Shut up. We haven't even learned a tenth of what we should learn about ourselves, and now we want to talk about Israel. People wasting their times above butterfly wings, and they haven't got even learning of the 20% of the human body that needs help. Be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. What came the word of God out of here? It came it unto you only. Where do we stand with Moses, Paul, and William Branham?